Amen. My wife and I, and as many of you would be aware, I think I have a bit of a ring. Maybe it's just on the stage. I don't know if you can hear it in the room, but on the stage, I'm getting a little bit of an echo. I think it's gone now. My wife and I this week had the great privilege of being able to travel on a fundraising trip with Convoy of Hope. We've done a couple of these before. And somebody will ask me, sometimes, man, Pastor, how do you get that gig? I just get invited. But the nature of the trip was one where folks are invited actually on a cruise. There's an anonymous donor who gives the money to pay for these cruises and other events that they do, and people are all invited for free. And then an offering is taken on the cruise ship. And of course, what happens then is a significant amount of money is turned into a very large amount of money. In the case of this trip, it was just a small group of about 30 people, but over $180,000 was given for Convoy of Hope. So that's pretty incredible. Amen. So it's a tremendous organization doing great relief work all around the world and feeding several hundred thousand children a day, disaster relief, so many things. So we had the great privilege of being a part of that this week. We just flew back yesterday. The ship doesn't affect my wife that much as far as her equilibrium is concerned. I feel like I'm still on the boat, all right? Anybody been on a cruise? Who's been on a cruise? Yeah. So I'm sure our experiences are different, but for me, it takes me a day or two where I stand here, and it's like all of you are swaying. I just got off the boat yesterday, and I'm having to recover from that. So if I start to fall while I'm preaching, I'm just going to shout hallelujah and act like the Holy Spirit knocked me over or something, and just I'll lay there for a bit and get back up, and because I want to try to make it look spiritual, but really it's my equilibrium. But as we were getting off the ship yesterday, and you get off kind of in waves, but we had a flight that was early to come home, so we were down there right at the beginning as they were opening the door, and a lot of the people are all getting off the boat at one time. Now there's several thousand people on the ship. It's big. So the crowd is kind of packed in. Some people probably who just want to get off quick. Others who maybe like us have a flight or something they have to catch. So you're trying to get to the airport by a certain time. So you're kind of pressed in. You're anxious to move. And what happened yesterday in the midst of this crowd is a couple of people rubbed each other wrong and they started to go back and forth with each other. And that was just Sarai and I. Not really. It wasn't us. I'm not talking about us. So we were fine. So we're there, and these people are, we were good, right? Yes. Okay. Yeah. So these guys, they get upset, and these two people get upset with each other, and they start to mouth back and forth with each other, and they're going back and forth, and one's saying something, the other one's saying something back, and this one says something, and this one says something back, and of course, it's starting to escalate, right? It's starting to escalate, and it's getting hotter, and the whole bit, and they're going back and forth, and you can tell what's happening is that both of them want the last word, right? Well, who raised a kid that always wanted the last word? Any of you had a kid, a son or a daughter, that always wanted the last word? You guys raised a bunch of angels. That's amazing. I see a few hands in the room. My son, Nathaniel, it was like no matter what you said, he needed to say something back. He had to, and I was talking to my mom one time, and I was like, that boy has to have the last word. And my mom said, that's you. That's you. She says, you got it. You got it back. It's your turn now. That was you. And both of them, they won't stop. And it's escalating, and it's getting heated, and they're going back and forth, and their voices are raising. And then a voice of reason steps in. This woman steps in, and she's with one of the women who's upset, and she steps in front of her, and she raises her hands up, and she says this, let it go. Let it go. I was like, she's preaching my sermon. My sermon, I said this to Melissa during the week. She makes these slides during the week. She goes, let it go. It's not worth it. Let it go. And the woman starts saying, she said, no. Let it go. Just drop it. Let it go at that point. It was some good advice that she was giving her in that context. It wasn't worth it. And generally, it isn't ever worth it. I want to read you a text today where an individual had a situation where they could have been offended. They could have been upset. Some things really could have thrown them. And I want to look at their response to what took place on this occasion so that we can glean from it in our lives to experience something. Because this woman received something great from God because she was willing to move on in a situation. And we want that to be us. So it's found in Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew 15, going to start at verse number 21 and read through with you. It says this, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. She's kneeling in worship is what she's doing. "Lord, help me," she cried. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you as always for your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us to glean from it today, to receive truth from it that we can apply right in our lives, Lord God. I pray that we will grow in you as a result of spending time in your word today, that we will become more of who you created us to be, more of who you would have us to be, Lord God. And Lord God, even as you're a light in the darkness, that will be as a result of that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, give me increase in my walk with you. I want to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said what? I mean, some of you kind of gasped when I read through it, even though a lot of you'd heard it before. But this is a text where you can hardly read it without saying, Jesus said what? Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the who? To the dogs. That's quite the statement for Jesus to have said in the context of a woman there kneeling at his feet. This wasn't said in the context of teaching a message, preaching a sermon, making an illustration. This woman is right there in front of him, and you talk about an opportunity to get offended. Come on. Do you know how easy it would be for this woman to have stood up and abruptly said, "You calling me what? What did you just call me? What did Jesus call her, church? Come on. Jesus just called this woman a dog. You saw it right there in the text with me. Jesus referred to the... It would have been so easy for her to stand up and be like, "What did you just say to me? What did you just call me? What just came out of your mouth?" What an opportunity for her to be thrown in what would happen there. But I want you to consider with me today her response, as well as what she did and didn't do in response. And we're going to look at the disciples a little bit as well in this whole account, because Matthew 15 is such a picture of responding to offenses in our lives. We live in a day of political correctness where everybody gets offended all the time. All the time. Offenses very easily in our day. People get offended by how they're spoken to. People get offended if they aren't spoken to. People get offended by if you look at them wrong. People get offended if you don't look at them. People get offended by what you say about them. People get offended by what you don't say about them. It's like, say it, don't say it. Good. No matter what you do, it's an opportunity to cause offense to somebody else. And I want you to catch today, and Jesus said this elsewhere in his teaching, where he said offenses would come. I want you to catch this today. Offenses will come in your life, but offended is an option. Offenses will come, but offended is an option. See, I don't have any control over what other people do in my life. I don't have any control over what you say or don't say to me, or what you do or don't do to me, or how you treat or don't treat me. And none of us have that over others. I can't control my own wife. Hello. Right? Anybody in here mastered controlling your spouse? There's a few wives who are kind of nodding, like, I kind of got it down. Yeah, so he's pretty good. I still got to teach him a little more, but he's pretty good. Even our own family members, we can, and let alone everybody else in the world. We don't have control over other individuals along the way, and things other people say and do or don't say or don't do. At times, it can come across as very offensive, and although I cannot control them, I can control me. I can control my response. I can control what I allow to get under my skin. I can control what I allow to make me angry or what would disturb me or eat away at me. And otherwise, what happens is we relinquish control of our own selves to those around us. And we allow other people to determine what our emotions are, how we feel, whether we're having a good or a bad day or anything else. And you don't want to release that kind of control to somebody else. Hello, come on. Especially not to some stranger on a boat or anywhere else as well, where somebody else allows you to have a bad day or feel bad or anything else along the way in your life. and I dictate that over you. Now, there are several opportunities for someone to be offended, if you will, in our text today, and I want to bounce through them with you, and then I'll pull them all together in a truth in the end to show you. But the first one that shows up here is the offense of being ignored. The offense of being ignored. This woman is a Canaanite woman. That means she's not Jewish. She's a Gentile. She's a Gentile. She comes to Jesus, and the text tells us that when she comes to Jesus, she comes shouting, Jesus! She comes shouting, Jesus, Son of David! So she comes. You remember one time when Jesus was leaving Jericho, and he's going to Jerusalem, and there's a whole crowd around him, and the Bible says there's two blind men sitting on the side of the road, and from the side of the road, they're shouting the same thing, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me! And the Bible says when they're shouting that Jesus stopped and he went over to those men and he says, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, we want to see. And Jesus healed them. It was miraculous. This woman is shouting. This woman is crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. She wants her daughter to be delivered, her daughter to be made whole. And everybody hears her. The disciples hear her. And the text never says Jesus doesn't hear. Instead, it says this. It says, and he answered her not a word. Come on. Jesus is standing there, and she's shouting. And what does Jesus say to her? Hey, give me a minute. Does he say that? Does Jesus say, I'm busy right now? Does Jesus say, wait right here, I'll get to you? No. What does Jesus say? Nothing. Nothing. Come on, we're an international church. You've been to a market in another country? You've been to a market in another country where the people are all calling out to you? Who knows what I'm talking about? If you haven't, you need to experience this sometime. Yeah, where they're calling, you'll be walking along, and the people who run the kiosk or the market, they're shouting at you. I made a terrible mistake. Very first time I ever went to another country. Very first time I ever went to another country was Zambia. Well, I'd been to like Canada, but that doesn't count. So anyway, first time I went to another real country. Canada's like the fifth. Forgive me if you're from Canada. Wonderful country. Yeah, wonderful country there. But anyway, so first time I really traveled was to Zambia. It was a good number of years ago. And I walked in, very first kiosk, very first place of the market, very first one. The guy reached out and he shook my hand and he asked me my name. He said, What's your name? And I didn't say pastor. I don't know this guy. I said, Jimmy. He said, oh, great to meet you, Jimmy. And he wants to show me stuff. But I want to see all the kiosks. And he says, oh. And so I said, well, I want to look around. Maybe I'll come back. He says, well, will you come back? And I said, well, let me look around first. He says, Promise me you'll come back. Now I'm not making promises. Yeah, just, and he said, but just come back. And I was like, well, let me look around. So I'm walking around. It's a big place. I mean, I must be 100 yards away from him, and I'm not making this up. This man is shouting. He is shouting, Jimmy, you promised. It's a true story. You promised. I'm like, oh my goodness. So this was. So I learned that now I was in Mexico this week, and I walk into a market where they're selling things and people are calling out to me. What do? It's like I don't even hear it. It's like I'm deaf. They're right here shouting, hey, come in my shop. I'm just walking by like nobody's saying anything in the world to me. That's what Jesus does. Jesus is just, this woman is shouting. She is shouting, and he doesn't even answer her. It's like she's not even right there. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I need for you to heal my daughter, to deliver my daughter. And Jesus doesn't say anything whatsoever to her. He ignores her completely. Feeling like you're being ignored is definitely an opportunity for offense. The call doesn't get returned, or they don't take your call. Or you text, and they don't reply to your text. Or you send an email and you know they saw the email and they never email you back. Or whatever else it is along the way where you feel like, come on, I'm being ignored in this situation. And it can be an offensive thing for us in our lives at all. And perhaps worst of all, someone just passes us by. Where have you been, man? I haven't seen you in a while. These were my words to Jamal as I walked up to him when I saw him on the street. I haven't seen you in a while, man. Where have you been? And then Jamal told me a story. I could tell from the first words out of his mouth he was upset with me. This is going back a number of years ago. I'm wonderful now. This would never happen. But back then I used to upset people. So anyway, you should laugh at that. Yeah, that's And Jamal, he had been in church for a while, and he says to me, he says, Pastor, he said, the last time I came to church, service ended, and I was going to come to the front because I wanted you to pray with me for something. He says, you looked straight at me, and you turned around and went in the opposite direction. Now, I had no memory of this whatsoever. I never would have done that on purpose, truthfully. I don't even know. I said, Jamal, there's a lot of people in the room. You sure I saw you? He said, no, you looked right at me. I said, I was probably just looking in your direction, but I wasn't really looking right at you. I didn't know. And he was like, no, and you just left, and you didn't. And this had so upset him that he had not simply walked away from me. He's walked away from the church. He's walked away from worshiping corporately with brothers and sisters and growing in his walk with God. And it all happened out of an offense of feeling like he was being ignored. But with Jamal, at least it was an accident. And I was able to explain that. That I didn't even know what was happening. Jesus did it on purpose. This is not an accident. This is not later Jesus found out she called him and he didn't know. This is she standing right there shouting. And what does Jesus do? Nothing. He answered her, not a word. He answered her, not a word. It's an opportunity here. I want to tell you, the offense of being ignored will trip you up and leave you a hurt, angry person if you aren't careful in life as you live through it. And somewhere along the way, somebody is going to ignore you. And it's not going to be an accident. They're going to do it on purpose. They're going to avoid you altogether on purpose. And it could hurt you. It could get to you. But this woman who had opportunity to be offended over this, she doesn't allow it to stop her. She just keeps pressing in. She just keeps pressing in. She has control over her reaction, not someone else. And the next thing I see in this text here that would be an opportunity for offense, so we're going to get back to her. But I want to sidetrack by staying in the chronological order of the text, because the next person who seems to show up with an opportunity to be offended is the disciples themselves. And while her opportunity for offense was being ignored, theirs came as they had become a part of the institution of what Jesus was now building, and that was in the church. The church will offend you if you let it. Hello. The church can offend you if you let it, because there's people at church, right? You've heard the old expression before, right? When you find the perfect church, don't go there, right? Because you'll mess it up. Yeah, so leave them alone. They're already perfect. Yeah, so wherever there's people, there's always going to be mistakes and things are going to happen and all that along the way. But the disciples in this context, there's something that happens here that's unique. She's shouting, Jesus, have mercy on me. And while she's crying out and calling out, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, send her away because she keeps crying out after us. If you've got your Bible open, you see that or you saw it. She's not crying out after them. Is she shouting John? Is she shouting James? Is she shouting Peter? She's not crying out after the disciples. Who's she crying out after? Jesus. Jesus. She's bothering me. Send her away. She keeps crying out after us. After us. She's not after them, but that's what they think. Even if she was appealing to the disciples, it wasn't about them. But the disciples are making the mistake of making the situation about them when it's really about Jesus. You catch that? They're making it about them, but it's really about Jesus. The opportunity for this level of offense comes when we begin to become too internally focused and we start to view church as about us. Church is about me. Church is about us. Instead of who's not at church, who isn't there. And it creates the opportunity for this offense. Come on, this is about Jesus. Tell your neighbor, this is about Jesus. Church is not about you. Church is about Jesus. It's about him. It's about who he is. Sometimes I race out the door after I preach. I'll preach and I'll hit one of these doors right here. I do it here. I used to do it in Yonkers as well. Sometimes I do it because we'll be at church and there'll be a family who's new, or someone who will come in, and I'll peg them, maybe even when I'm speaking. If you're new, you're probably going to be really nervous when I tell this story. You're going to be like, run for it. Yeah, so I'll be here, and sometimes I'll be somebody, and sometimes it's someone who's new, and they linger for a bit, and I can get to them and say hi and greet them or whatever, but sometimes it'll be somebody who's newer, and I watch them, and they hit the door as fast as I'm done, and I know I can't get through everybody, so that's when I sneak out right here. Because you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to get them in the parking lot. So I sneak out, and I run outside. And then when they go out the side door over there, I'm able, they're probably like, where did you come? And I've actually had people say that before. How did you get out here? Yeah. So I come out and I go, hey, it was, you know, I'm so glad you were with us today and it was good to see you. I just wanted to say hi and, you know, and have the chance to meet you. And I've had it happen before that then when I'm in that context where I'm there and I'm interacting with them for a little bit and a few minutes can go by. And then by the time I get back in, you know, we've dissipated in number and people started to filter out. And then later, hear from somebody, either get a text or an email, Pastor, I looked everywhere for you. You just disappeared. Where were you? Now, I've never had someone really get offended over that, actually. But I'm telling the story because of it fitting in the opportunity for offense in that context, if you will. I've run out after the Canaanite woman, and then somebody's saying, Pastor, I needed you. But the thing is, you could get me anytime. Hello. The disciples have Jesus all the time. They're always with him. They're with him all the time. And they're making. We want to be very careful that we don't make church about ourselves. Church is about Jesus. Church is about being a light in the darkness and who we are in this situation along the way. Amen? Praise God. Remember that in your own life. Don't become such a part of the institution of church that you lose sight of the Canaanite woman. And you start thinking, this is about me. This is about what I can get. This is about what, no, you should come to church with the attitude of church is going to be better today because I showed up. Are you hearing me? Every one of us, that should be the case. Church is going to be a better experience today because I showed up and I'm going to be a blessing and I'm going to speak a word of encouragement to somebody else. It's about me, but we know that it's about serving him and being about Christ in our life. So I had a woman come up to me one time in church. She'd been there a few times. She was still pretty new and she came up and I was like, oh, you know, I've been seeing you here and it's been great to have you. And she said, Pastor, I'm thinking about staying here in this church. She says, but I need to know that this is a church where I can have access to the pastor whenever I want it. And here's what I said to her. Are you ready? You're going to think I'm terrible. I said, this probably isn't the church for you. Yeah, I really did. I said, this probably isn't the church. I said, because the only one you could have access to whenever you want it is God himself and Jesus Christ. I'm just a person. There'll be lots of times when I'm not available. I can only be one place at one time, talk to one person at one time. You're looking for a person to be God. She didn't come back, but anyway. That happened in New York. People were rude there. It wasn't like here. That's making church an institution and being offended because it's about you is what she's doing. She's making it about her in that situation. Disciples can be too easily offended when they become too internally focused. Let me keep moving and get back to the woman. All right, so let's catch up with her because this next opportunity for offense is one of insignificance. This woman is there. She is crying out to Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus answers her not a word. The disciples, Jesus, this woman is driving us crazy. Jesus, she keeps crying out after us. Send her away. And what is Jesus' response? Jesus' response is, I was not sent to them. I'm only sent to the lost sheep of Israel, is his response. I'm sent to the, in other words, you're not who I'm here for. You're not who I'm here for. You're not as important as the Israelites, as the Hebrew people are in this situation. She's a Canaanite woman. She's a Gentile. And Jesus' ministry at this time was to the Jewish people. And it could come across that way. You're not important enough for me. When someone makes us feel insignificant, it's easy for us to get offended. Now, I'll tell a story on somebody else now that you'll never meet. I walked into the office one day. Again, this was not here at SSA. This was a good number of years ago. But I walked in the office one day and I was told that someone kept calling. They said, Ralph keeps calling and he's upset. I said, what's he upset about now? And they said, Ralph said he came to church on Sunday and he sat on the back row and he was there for the whole service and nobody ever said hi to him. No one ever said anything to him. And he's upset and he wants to talk to you. I said, if he calls again, beat me. Let me talk to him. So I go in my office a little bit later. I'm beat. Hey, it's Ralph on the phone. I picked up the phone and my phone conversation started like this. I didn't even say hello. I just picked it up and I said, so I guess you think you're better than everybody else at this church. And there was just silence. He says, what? I said, that's what I heard. I heard you've been calling here saying that you think you're better than all of us. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, yeah, I heard you came to church here on Sunday and you sat by yourself and you never said hi to anybody. I said, I guess you must think you're better than all of us that you would do that at our church. And you just keep to yourself like that. And he just paused. He was just silent. He said, He said, do you really believe that? I was like, no, I don't really believe that, Ralph. I said, but what I don't want is you to be upset because other people act like you. That somebody else did the very same thing you did, and yet you're upset with them. So with Ralph, it was a chance to teach him a lesson that he needed to be taught. However, with all of us, when we're made to feel insignificant, it's an opportunity for offense. If we're made to feel less than. Somebody else gets credit for something, and we thought we should have got credit for it also. Hello. And we sit there, we think, what about me? Where's my plaque? Where's my certificate? How come my name wasn't mentioned for that? And am I less than that individual? And things like that. And insignificance can come in such a situation. It happened a bit with Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian military leader, and he came to Elisha because he needed to be healed of leprosy. And he comes to the prophet, and Elisha doesn't even come out and talk to him. Already this could be offensive because Naaman's a significant individual. So Naaman comes, and instead Elisha just sends a servant out. Go tell him to dip in the Jordan River 7 times and he'll be healed. When the servant comes out and tells Naaman this, what's his response? He's like, I'm not doing that. He's like, we have better rivers in Syria. He probably can't believe Elisha didn't even bother to come out and talk to him or see him. And he's walked off, and Naaman is about to miss his miracle. He's about to miss his miracle out of just being personally offended over what happened to him. But instead, he has a servant, somebody who works for him, who says to him, Master, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, you would have done it. Just go do it. Just go do it. And fortunately for Naaman, he humbled himself and he went to the Jordan River and he did that. And the Bible tells us that he was cleansed and God made him completely whole. He received a miracle in that context. But out of offense, he almost missed what God had for him because of how it impacted him in his life. The same thing could have happened with this woman. This woman, when Jesus says, I wasn't sent for you, by this point, he's ignored her. And then he's just made this statement about, and he didn't even say it to her, he's saying it to the disciples. It'd be easy for her to stand up and just be like, forget you. I tried, and this is how you treat me. But instead of choosing to be offended, this is a woman who does not quit. She continues to press in. Now, reality is what Jesus said was true. Jesus really was sent for the Jewish people first. Now, the church, of course, is now for all people. And we know that the gospel would be to all the Gentiles. But Jesus' initial ministry really was to the Hebrew people. So what Jesus said was true. You know what that tells me? That teaches me that just because I feel offended doesn't mean I'm right. Hello. Just because you feel offense doesn't mean you're right. Jesus was right. Jesus was right in this situation. You can feel offense, but be wrong. Hello, tell your neighbor, sometimes you're wrong. Just because some of you sought people out to tell. Yeah, you're like, oh, that guy over there, I'm going to tell him. Come on, stay with me. Stay with me here. See, you can feel slighted and you can be and be wrong. Your feelings can be hurt. And that doesn't automatically mean you're right. All that said, I want to encourage you and remind you then that when you feel offense, don't post, pray. Hello, do you hear me? I know it's a social media generation we're with. If you're not on social media, you might not get that. But when I feel offense in my life, it's not time to post things. It's time to pray things. Hello. Because I might not even be right in that situation. You don't take it to Facebook. You take it to Jesus. Hello. You put it there in that situation. So this opportunity, this offense of insignificance is one that can trip us up. And then one last one today and then pull them all together. And that's the offense of being insulted. The Canaanite woman, man, she didn't quit. She comes to Jesus' feet. She falls down and worships. So she's come in crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He answers her not a word. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Disciples come, send her away. She just keeps crying out after us. She comes in now. She falls at his feet after he says, I'm not sent for her. I'm sent for the children of Israel. Falls at his feet and she worships him. Oh, I worship you. You're holy. Oh, my daughter needs a touch from you. She's there. And I mean, this is pretty powerful that she is at his feet, bowing in worship and prayer. And what does Jesus say to her? Bless you, my daughter. No, no. What does Jesus say? Jesus says this. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to Are you with me? Yes. Oh my goodness. This is Jesus, meek and mild. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, if you learn anything in Greek, and somewhere along the way you may have heard this, there's more than one word for dog in Greek. So they have a word that refers to like a outdoor dog, like a stray dog, a rough dog, a street dog. They have that word for dog. And then they also have a word that means like a house dog, like a pet. So they have two words. Jesus, in all fairness to him, at least called her a pet dog. All right, so he did use the nice word for the inside, but he still called her a dog. Any way you look at it, it's still a dog of what he says. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, is what he says. He still says there along the way, whether intentional or unintentional, somewhere along the way, you're going to get insulted in your life as well. This Canaanite woman could have stood up and demanded an apology. She could have been like, "You apologize to me. How dare you speak to me like that? I'm a person. How could you say that? How could you say such a thing while I'm here?" But instead, her response is profound, because this woman's relentless. Her response is, "Even the dogs," and she uses the same word. She refers to herself as the nice little house dog also, so you know. She said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And of course, for Jesus, Jesus was always teaching. This is a teaching opportunity. Jesus then makes this declaration over her of, "I haven't seen such faith in all of Israel." Such faith. I mean, she just continues to believe. She could have missed her opportunity to receive a miracle, but instead she continued to believe. She continued to press in the situation. Now I need somebody to help me out. Is Joshua in here? Is Joshua? He is. No. Oh, I lost him. I was going to use him again. So I'm going to use Isai. Oh, come on, yeah. He said no as I pointed at him. He was like, I hadn't even pointed at him yet. He was like, nope. All right, I'm going to give you a break, and I want you to pick one of the people behind you very quickly. All right, who's going to help me out? You switch. She had influence over. All right, come on, Saul. Come on, come quickly. Get on up here and help me out really quick, and I want to pull all this together for you. What I need for you to do is to sing a song and dance real quick. I want you to just stand right there and face everybody. There are opportunities for offense in this situation altogether. Her first one, her first opportunity for offense that we saw with the Canaanite woman was to be ignored. Just take that one. Just take it in that one hand, your left hand, if you would. Was to be ignored. And she could have held on to that one altogether. The second one we saw was the disciples, where they wanted to make things just about themselves. The church was about me. It's about us. That opportunity for the institution itself to offend us. The next one that was there was an opportunity of offense of insignificance. She's being overlooked. I'm not here for you. Along the way. And that last one that we looked at was an offense of being insulted of what was said to her. And all these things that come in this text along the way. But what she's really after is she's after this. This is what she's after here. No cheating. You know what you need to do? Somebody tell him what to do. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Yeah. You can't hold on to the offense and still receive what God has for you. You have to. What that woman said on the ship, she was preaching my sermon. This woman's about to get upset. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Let it go. And in letting it go, in this woman, she receives from God. You did fantastic. You did great. They already gave you a round of applause, so don't let it go to your head. And thanks so much. Now I want you to catch this as I pull this together or as I finish this right here. I've heard people tell stories of offense that happened years ago, sometimes decades ago. And I've heard people tell the story with such passion that you would have thought it happened that afternoon. Tears, anger in their voice. I'm like, when did this happen? This was back in 1996. I'm like, oh my goodness, you still upset? That was a long time ago. Yeah, no, you know what they need to do? You need to let it go. You can't hold on to offense. and receive. Just as Naaman couldn't, she couldn't, you can't do that. It's something that you have to let go of in order to receive from God. So I challenge you today as I close with this. If there's something in your life that you're holding on to, it's some hurt. And people really do hurt us along the way. Hello, come on. People are going to say things, do things, not say things, not that are really going to hurt us along the way. But as we grow, we come to the place of, I have to let go of this and move on so that I can receive from God, so that I can grow in Him along the time. I want you to catch something, man. That person that hurt you, they might not ever apologize to you. You don't have any control over somebody else. You can't control what they do. If you're thinking to yourself, well, you know what? When he finally comes and said he's sorry, then what if he never comes and said, you're just going to live angry till the day you die? You're going to let it eat up in you? And No. You're letting someone else control you and control your emotions and control your temperament and your attitude in that situation. You have to come to the place in your own life of saying, you know what, God? I'm giving this to you. I'm letting go of it. Now, I recognize that letting go of things can be a process. It's very easy for Saul to just drop the boxes. That's very easy. They're just boxes. Really letting go of hurt in our lives sometimes takes a little more time. All right? It can be a process in our lives. But we make the decision to move in that direction and say, I'm letting go of this. I'm forgiving. Because what will happen is the temptation will come is you will remember. You will remember the time that person treated you a certain way, and the temptation will come to do what? I'm going to pick that back up. I'm going to pick that back up and carry it around with me. No. Don't pick it back up. Don't pick it back up. When you let it go, so when that thought comes to pick it back up, it is, no. I let go of that. I'm not picking that back up. I want to receive from God in my life. I want to be whole in Him and go forward and leave it in that place. Would you stand with me at this time? Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead. You can give God praise. Why don't you come and help me out? Amen. Hallelujah. I want us to do something a little unique as we close today, a little different in this context. And you might not be at a place right now where there's something that you need to let go of. But being equipped for this is important because offenses will come. They're always going to come. They're going to happen in our lives. So we need to know to not receive them, to not let those things stick to us along the way when we want to receive from Him. But if there's something that comes to your mind as I talk about this, and I'm not saying this to try to stir up past hurt at all, but if there's something you say, man, you know what? I'm holding on to something that I just need to let go of. I need to let go of. I want to encourage you to do something that's a little bit bold today. And you might need to ask somebody, you might need to excuse yourself and ask somebody, hey, can you let me slip around you or whatever else? But I don't know, there's something unique sometimes to setting our feet in motion. I want to challenge you to be so bold as to step out of your seat in just a moment and come down to the front of this room. And even as I talked about during worship about Hezekiah coming and laying that letter out at the altar and saying, God, look at this. Just to come and say, you know what, God, I'm letting go of this. I'm letting go of this, and you might want to symbolically just tag this altar portion of our church. Just come up and leave here. You can go right back to your seat if you want. You can stay here and pray if you want. That's up to you. But it's just a symbolic thing of saying, God, I'm not going to carry this with me anymore. If that's you, would you come? Come on, some folks are already coming. Amen. Go ahead and come. Anybody else who would come, just come and leave it here. And leave it here and say, God, I'm not going to keep picking this up anymore. I'm letting go of this. I'm letting go of this. Just come and leave it at the altar. Set it down. You can worship at that point. You can go right back to your seat if you'd like. You can stay here and pray. That's your choice. But what we're doing is we're leaving it here. We're leaving it here. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. All across the room. Yeah, come on and just say, God, I'm casting my cares on you, knowing that you care for me. Giving it to you, God. I'm not going to keep carrying this around. Somewhere along the way, somebody insulted you. Someone ignored you. Someone treated you insignificantly. Somewhere along the way, you were too internally focused and you got hurt. And we're saying, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this to you, God. I'm letting go of this. I'm laying this down. I'm laying this down. God, I just want to pick up what's of you. I want to pick up what's of you. The Bible says that for the Canaanite woman, that from that very hour, from that very hour, her daughter was made whole. From that very hour, her daughter was made whole. She received from God right then. I want to believe as well for that which can only come from God to be real in your life as well. As you give everything to Him. Hallelujah. We give it to You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, we cast all of our cares on You right now. We cast all of our cares on You right now, Lord God. We give them to You in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, right now, I agree together with my brothers and sisters, those who've come up to the altar, those who are still here, those who've returned to their seats, all of us across this room. Offenses come in our lives as well. But today, Lord God, following even the example of this woman, we're saying, you know what? I'm not going to hold on to that. Following the example of Naaman, who took him a little bit to learn it, we're saying, okay, I'll do what God has asked me to do. And we want to receive from You as we give it to You. So I pray healing. I pray healing over us now. I pray healing over every brother and sister of mine at this altar, Lord God. I pray wholeness over them in their lives. I know, Lord God, that letting go of things can be a process in our lives. So I pray that when the temptation comes to pick it back up, that they'll resist it and they'll leave it right here at the altar where they brought it to, Lord God. And know wholeness and healing in You. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give it all to You, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name. That we receive from You. Hey, letting go of things is a good place to ask God for things. This woman had came seeking for a miracle. She had come seeking for a miracle. And she got it. And she got it when she exercised her faith. And I want to encourage you to be bold in this context and believe for God to do in your life what only God can do as well. That you receive from Him now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Do the miraculous in our lives, I pray, Lord God. Do the miraculous in our lives, I pray, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You. We thank You as we cast our cares on You. We thank You for wholeness that is found in You, for healing that is found in You, Lord God. Lord God, we know offenses will come in our lives, but we commit ourselves to not living as an offended people, Lord God, but a people who trust in You, a people who follow You in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Kelly, why don't you come and just, if you'd lead us as a closing song today, and you can stay at this altar as long as you'd like. But even as we're believing God in this context as well, hallelujah. Why don't we, hallelujah. You can sing through something we've already sung today. That's fine. Yeah. Thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. She came and knelt down and worshiped. Let's let that be our hearts as well. Hallelujah.